John chapter 14, and we're going to continue the series on walking in the peace of God. And we're going to take our time with this because it's important that we not only understand what the peace of God entails, but know how to experience it. And so, thank God for the Word. The Bible is our guide for our faith and for our practice. And I'm going to share some very practical points with you that I think will truly bless you in your life if you'll put them into practice, if you'll do them. Notice John chapter 14, verse 27. This is where we began last week, Jesus in teaching his disciples and sharing with us some very important things that we need to know. Said this in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And so Jesus is talking about a peace that only He can give. And because we can experience this peace, He said, don't let your heart be troubled. Now, of course, the heart does not refer to the organ in your chest that pumps blood, but rather your inward man or your inward woman. That includes your spirit, that includes your soul, your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions. How many of you realize that most of the time when we lose our peace, it's a mental thing? Your mind gets stressed out and you become worried. And the word here for troubled is tarasso, and it literally means to be stirred up or to roll like a raging water. And so Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so we have to learn how to experience this peace so that we can walk in it. Now, last week we looked at several scriptures, and we're not going to go back over all of those today. You can get the message. The CD is in the bookstore. And by the way, for all our first-time visitors, you always get a free CD of today's message, or you can get one, anyone you like. But if you don't get the CD, you can go online. It's on the website. And I put a lot of our content on the web, and we literally have downloads from all over the world. You know, people just downloading the Word, listening to lessons. So it is available to you. But Jesus offers us a peace that's unlike peace that we get from the world. Now, I'll define peace again for you. Oftentimes we think of peace mistakenly as just the absence of conflict. You know, I'm not at war, I'm not fighting, so I must be at peace. That's not the definition of peace at all. The Hebrew word for peace, shalom, encompasses not only absence of conflict, but rather health, wholeness, well-being, safety, and security. All of those things are wrapped up in that one word, shalom, peace. The New Testament uses a different word for peace. It's eirene, and we're going to study and find out what eirene is, that peace that prevails today. But I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles now to a passage that I didn't have you go to last week, but I referred to it, and that's in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And we talked about an event that happened in the life of Jesus when he went to visit some friends. He had some dear friends named Mary and Martha, and they had a brother named Lazarus. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "And Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, and they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. So she came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me.' But the Lord said to her, 'Dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her.'" The King James says, "Only one thing is needful." And many times in life, we find ourselves in the same situation. It may not be a big dinner that we're preparing, but maybe it's just the issues of life that we face every day. And if we're not careful, we can become troubled over the stuff that we're dealing with. But we need to be just like Mary. She sat at his feet and listened to what he taught. And Jesus said that was the only thing that was necessary. And I will say to you, just as Jesus said to Martha, there's only one thing that you really need to be focused on in your life, and that is to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. Amen. Sit at his feet and hear his word. You know, we live in a culture where people clamor for the supernatural. People clamor to hear a word from God. That's why psychics do what they do. That's why false prophets do what they do. Because people are hungry to hear from God. You know the easiest way to hear from God? Spend time in his word. He'll speak to you through the word every day. That's the primary way that God leads us and guides us. There are some people who have this mistaken idea that God leads us through events and circumstances. Well, you know, if that door is closed, that must mean it's not the will of God. No, not at all. That's foolish. Well, that door's open, so it must mean that's the will of God. No, you'd better take your time. The Bible says that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So the two primary ways that he leads us and guides us is, number one, through the written word. Number two, through the inward witness. He leads us from the inside out. And so we have to know what God's word says if we want to walk in the peace of God. Now listen, it just boils down to one thing. It's a matter of priorities. What's important to you? You know, things that are important to you, you invest time in, don't you? Things that are important to you, you invest your money in. It's important for you to get a paycheck on Friday, so you invest your time through the week at your job. Am I right? Now, if you didn't need the paycheck, be honest now, if you did not need the paycheck, if you had money coming out of your ears and never would have a need in your life for the rest of your life, how many of you would go to that job? Do you love it that much? No, you want the money. That's why you go to work. So that money's important to you, so you make an investment of your time. Well, how important is the peace of God to you? How important is the direction of the Lord in your life to you? How important is what Jesus died for on the cross to you? If it's important to you, you will invest time in it. You will invest resources in it, and you'll spend time at his feet hearing his word. Now, I said this last week in measure. Many times, too many of us live life by the seat of our pants. We don't spend any time in the word. We really don't pray a lot. We just flying by the seat of our pants. Yeah, we go to MGCC. You know, we get there. You know, my name's on the roll. It's in the book. It's in the computer. You know what I mean? They know me. I show up. I attend. I get there about twice a month. But when all hell breaks loose, now all of a sudden you want God to focus all of his attention on you. And he will. He will. But I dare say there's something that's out of whack when you live that way. Out of whack. You know what I mean when I say out of whack? Something's not right. Priorities are out of order. Now listen, God will meet you where you are. He'll minister to your need. But he would rather you develop a relationship with him daily and consistently, sitting at his feet, hearing his word. Then you will truly experience the peace of God. That is the first key to walking in the peace of God, doing just what Mary did. Realizing that there's only one thing that's needful, one thing that's really important, to sit at Jesus' feet and let him teach you his word. Now, when I say sit at His feet, I mean meditate in His Word consistently, every day. Doesn't mean you read your Bible for 3 hours a day. No, not at all. But you need a time when you can sit down and spend time in the Word and allow Him to teach you how to live this Christian life. Start with Matthew and go to the right. Yeah, Ecclesiastes is good, but it wasn't written to you. Are you with me? The Levitical law has a lot of good stuff in it, but it wasn't written to you. You need to know it. But start with Matthew and go to the right. Letters written to born-again folk. Okay? Got it? All right. Now, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. We're talking about the peace of God. And I want to show you how integral peace is for the life of a believer. How important is peace to God? Well, I'll show you that it's so important to God that it's part of His redemptive plan. Isaiah chapter 53, the great redemptive chapter of the Bible. I'll wait for you to get there. When you get there, say, I got it. All right. Notice Isaiah 53, verse 4. I'm reading from the Amplified. Surely He has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered Him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. Notice this. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon Him, and with the stripes that wounded Him, we are healed and made whole. So notice that the chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. The peace of God is so important that it was wrapped up in what Jesus did on the cross. Not only did He become sin with your sin, not only did He bear your sickness and carry your pain, but the chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. It is part of God's redemptive plan that you not only live a life free from sin, free from disease, free from sickness, but walk in the peace of God. Jesus paid for it at redemption. And so it belongs to you. But you need to understand some keys so that you can walk in that peace. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you live your life and you don't have a care in the world. That doesn't mean you don't have obligations. That doesn't mean you don't have things you need to do. That simply means you're not worried about it. You know what I mean? That means you're not upset. You don't go to bed, lose any sleep. I had a fellow say to me not long ago, you know, he was upset at me for some things that had happened in his life. And I won't go into great detail because I don't want you to figure out who I'm talking about. But he was upset at me. No, you don't know him. He's never been here. But anyway, he said to me, you know, trying to be sarcastic, how do you sleep at night? I said, like a baby. I sleep good, man. And he was shocked that I would say that to him. He thought I'd be all worried and upset. I ain't worried and upset about anything. See, the Bible tells us be anxious for nothing. That word anxious literally means have anxiety or worry. Don't worry about anything. But I'm going to show you another key here. I'm getting ahead of myself. But peace is something that is so integral to the life of a believer that the chastisement of our peace was laid upon Jesus at the cross. And so He bore it as our substitute. So all of that stuff that tries to come on you and make you worry and fret and stay up at night and have ulcers, you got to realize all that stuff was laid upon Jesus Christ on the cross so that you could be free. Now what you need to do is learn how to walk in the peace of God. Okay? Redemption settled all of the issues that we have to deal with. And redemption made provision for the entirety of your life. Everything that you will ever need in life was accomplished when Jesus died on that cross. Amen? Now, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, for those of you, if you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible in front of you in the pew. You know, normally what I do every day is I start my day with the Word. There are certain scriptures that I read every morning. And so before I get up and get going on my day, I spend that time in the Word. And it works for me. Now, you might be of the opinion that, well, I'm gonna go through my day, do everything that I have to do, and I know I should spend time sitting at His feet, hearing His Word. And so just before I turn out the lights and nod off to sleep, I'm going to grab my Bible and study it in bed, propped up by the pillow, watching Jay Leno. Guess what? That's the best sleep aid in the world. You have trouble sleeping? Do that. You'll go to sleep real fast. All right? Don't wait till the last thing. I wouldn't recommend it, to read your Bible at night. Now, if you're a night owl, that's different, you know. But I like what the wisdom of God said in Proverbs. They that seek me early, I'll bless them. Amen? Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to show you something. This is a verse that we're all familiar with. Beginning with verse 17, it says, "For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I talk about these verses often. Righteousness is a free gift. Notice verse 21. "For he has made him to be sin for us," talking about redemption, what Jesus did on the cross, "who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." At Calvary, there was a great exchange. Jesus became sin for us, so that we could, through by faith, become the righteousness of God. Listen to me, I've said this again and again and again. You are not just an old sinner saved by grace. You cannot be both. You're either a sinner or you've been saved by grace. Take your pick. If you've been saved by grace, then you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus became sin with your sin so that you could bear His righteousness. So now God sees you as though you had never sinned. He sees you without guilt, without condemnation, because Jesus paid the price for us. You understand that? Say, "He did it for me."
He did it for me.
Now, once we come to Jesus, we've been born again and have been made the righteousness of God. Remember, the chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. So now I want you to see what effect righteousness can have in your life. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32. This is the result of righteousness. We were just in Isaiah 55, back up to the 32nd chapter. And I'll show you this principle in the Old Covenant. Isaiah chapter 32. Notice the first verse. "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Now, when righteousness is established, that's how a king reigns. That's how he exercises his rulership. Not only that, when righteousness is established, a man shall be like a hiding place. What does that mean? When there's trouble, when there's distress, run to a righteous man. Run to a righteous woman. And it'll be like a covering place, an ark of safety, if you will. Because righteousness has been established. Let me read that again, that second verse. "And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covering from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Doesn't matter what the distress is, a righteous man has the answer. A righteous man has provision. Well, if it's dry, he's like rivers of water. If it's hot, he's like the shade. If there's a storm going on, a righteous man is like a safe place to dwell. Listen to me. If you're in Christ, you're that righteous man. If you're in Christ, you're that righteous woman. This is a picture of the way we should live. In the midst of trouble, we're the ones who are calm. In the midst of turmoil, we're the ones who are not upset. Remember we talked about Paul the Apostle last week and all the things that he went through? The thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. Paul asked the Lord three times, get this dude away from me. By the way, that angel, that messenger sent, was a personality, not a thing. The Greek word angelos. Satan had assigned a demon to follow the Apostle Paul and deal blow after blow after blow. Why? Stop him from teaching this stuff. Stop him from getting people saved and healed. Stop him from getting them filled with the Holy Ghost. Stop him from teaching this stuff. But he failed at every turn. Amen. Paul asked the Lord three times, get this dude away from me. And the Lord said to him, my grace is more than sufficient. In other words, I'm all you need, Paul. Don't worry about it. Just walk in peace and trust in me. He got it. And then he said, now I take pleasure in trouble, in distresses, in necessities, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. In other words, I don't care what the devil does, the power of God's going to come on me to see me through. And so his attitude changed from, get this dude away from me, to, is that all you got? Bring it on, man. Why? He understood the principle of righteousness. So when trouble erupted, he was the calm one. Didn't worry about it. Remember when he was on the island and they had the shipwreck? Remember all that stuff? I mean, they hadn't seen the sun or moon for 14 days. They're in the middle of a hurricane. These guys are bailing left and right, throwing stuff overboard. And Paul comes out of the bottom of the ship, having spent time praying and fasting. And they hadn't seen the sun or moon for 14 days. And he says, oh, cheer up, guys. We're going to be okay. And they looked at him like he was crazy. He said, I had a conversation with an angel. And he said, we're going to be fine. He said, but you're going to have to do what I tell you to do. See, he told them originally, if I were you, I wouldn't sail. They didn't listen. See, because Paul knew on the inside, had the witness of the Spirit on the inside. This voyage will be of much hurt and damage, not only the stuff, but our lives. The weather looked nice. Wind was blowing. They thought, who is he? They sailed. Got into trouble. So in the midst of that trouble, Paul's praying, everybody's fasting, now they all want to listen to him. And Paul comes out and said, cheer up, I had a conversation with an angel. He said, everything's going to be fine, but you're going to have to listen to me. And they said, whatever you say, dude, whatever you say. He said, we're going to be cast upon a certain island. He said, but you can't jump off the ship, you got to stay with the ship. And so the common thing was, in Rome at the time, if you experience a shipwreck, what the Romans would do, and they had this policy, in order to keep prisoners from escaping, and there were 200 and some of them, you kill them all. But they didn't want to kill Paul. This guy heard from God. This guy's the covering in the storm. This is the righteous man. And so the captain said, we're not killing anybody. He didn't want anybody to kill Paul by mistake. Nobody gets killed. They ended up on the island. Now you'd think after all that they could finally rest and relax. Well, that's what they're trying to do. They're building a fire. And all of a sudden a snake bites Paul on the hand and latches onto it. Now you'd think after all this, what else could go wrong? Well, you know what Paul did? He didn't get upset. He shook the thing off in the fire and went on like nothing happened. All the locals are sitting there watching him saying, "Woo, man, he must have done something wrong. You know, God's going to kill him." And when they see that nothing happened to him, they realize, whoa, there's something different about this guy. You know what was different about him? Righteousness. Amen. Righteousness. Even though a serpent latched onto his hand, he just shook it off, kept on going. He understood righteousness. You with me? And he'd spent time at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So he wasn't upset. He wasn't nervous about it. He was a man of faith. He knew how to use his faith. And it worked for him. Are you with me? Notice this. We're still in Isaiah chapter 32. We looked at verses 1 and 2. Look at verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. This is the effect of righteousness, the result of righteousness, peace, quietness, and assurance forever. And you will dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. That's the will of God for your life. That's why Jesus died, in part, so that you could be made the righteousness of God in Him and walk in the peace of God. Walk in the peace of God. That's the effect that righteousness has on our lives. Now, if you have this old religious mindset, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace, you're going to struggle. Because you think of yourself as a sinner. You talk about yourself like a sinner. And guess what? You'll experience life just like a sinner. You need to understand who you are and what Jesus paid for. All right, you're in Isaiah. Turn with me to Psalm 23. Everybody knows the 23rd Psalm. You with me? Go to the left. Psalm 23. Talking about walking in the peace of God. Psalm 23. Thank you, Lord. Have you ever read the 23rd Psalm? Anybody in the house? Okay, everybody with your hand raised. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever read the 22nd Psalm? Aha. Let me highlight some things for you. The 22nd Psalm. It'll sound very familiar to you. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Sound familiar? Verse 6. I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. Notice verse 14. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It melts in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and you brought me to the dust of death. Verse 16. For the dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can see all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots for my vesture. You know what the 22nd Psalm is? A picture of Jesus on the cross. Isaiah saw it hundreds of years before Jesus was born and prophesied with details and specifics about what would happen that day on the cross. So after the 22nd Psalm, the suffering of Christ, now we have the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That word koser literally means to want, to lack, or to fail. Notice the second verse. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, or waters of quietness. What we have here by the psalmist David is a picture of the risen Christ, Jesus, leading his flock after the resurrection. And not only does he tell us that if we follow him, we won't fail, we won't lack, but he will lead us beside still waters, waters of quietness. Listen, if you'll follow after God and the things of God, if you'll sit at his feet and hear his word, he will lead you and guide you in life so that you experience quietness, rest, and peace. It's when you do your own thing and you don't follow him that you end up with turmoil, strife, and mess. Y'all with me? It's when you don't follow him but you do your own thing. That's when we get into the mess. And many times people have said to me over the years, Pastor Bill, I don't know why God did this to me. Did what? I don't know why God led me into this. He didn't lead you there. He's trying to get you to turn right. You turn left. Now you want to blame him. Most of the time you know better than that anyway. How often have you made a decision and you said this afterwards? I knew I shouldn't have done that. I knew I shouldn't have done that. How did you know? The Lord on the inside of you was trying to get your attention. That was the inward witness telling you, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't, sure. Don't go out with him. Hey, I got to be real. But Pastor Bill, he's cute. You need more than cute, honey. But Pastor Bill, he's got a nice car. Oh, please. Come on. Yeah, okay, I'm going to behave myself today. Glory to God. We see, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And many times we're sizing them up, thinking, well, okay, they got this, they got that, they got this, they got that. I know they don't have this, they don't have that, they're lacking this. Listen, you better quit sizing them up from the outside. Listen to the Lord, because He knows what's going on in here. All right? He knows what's going on the inside. And you'll save yourself a whole lot of trouble, a whole lot of anxiety, a whole lot of turmoil if you just follow Him. He will lead you beside waters of quietness. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, you're the sheep. Follow the shepherd. Quit doing your own thing and getting all jacked up. Follow the shepherd. He's got your best interest at heart. Look at all that stuff He did for you in Psalm 22. What He suffered for you so you could be free, so that you could walk in peace. Amen? All right, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Let's go back to the New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, and then Philippians. We're making good time. Hey, just for your information, you're probably looking at your watch. It's not even 12 o'clock yet, and I'm almost done. How's that? Not bad, huh? It's all right. Don't run out the door. We have communion. So, Philippians chapter 4. So, what are the keys that I've shown you so far to walking in the peace of God? Number one, do just like Mary. Sit at His feet. Hear His word. Allow Him to teach you. You need to have a consistent time where you feed on God's word every day. Amen? Going to church on Sunday here at MGCC is great. I recommend it highly. You should never miss a Sunday. But that's not enough. You need more. Okay? I'm probably going to have dinner this afternoon. That's great. But in order for me to maintain my physical health, I need more than one meal a day. Or one meal a week, I should say that. Okay? Notice Philippians chapter 4. So key number one is sit at His feet and hear His word. Sit at His feet and hear His word. Number two, understand that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, and peace belongs to you. That is the effect of righteousness. Peace, quietness, and assurance forever. Key number three, follow the shepherd. He'll lead you beside waters of quietness. How do we follow the shepherd? By following His word, by following that inward witness on the inside. Amen? It's when you do your own thing that you get in trouble. Philippians chapter 4. Here's a very classic portion of Scripture that we can use. Notice verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. Now the word careful there is, I believe, the Greek word merimneo, which literally means to be anxious, anxiety, to be full of care. It doesn't mean to exercise caution. It means don't worry or be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, that's what we're talking about, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Amplified says, the peace of God, which passes knowledge, or passes understanding, will garrison up, guard, and protect your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. So what do? When situations arise, here's how we respond. With prayer. What is prayer? Face-to-face communion with God. God's not hiding out in heaven someplace, and you don't have to unlock 15 doors to get to Him. All you have to do is say, Father, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. He's just waiting for you to ask Him. He's just waiting for you to declare what the answer is, or declare what you need. He's waiting for you to pray. In everything, or in every situation, by prayer and supplication, asking with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then it says, the peace of God will protect, garrison, guard, protect your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So that simply means you pray about a situation, you ask God to meet the need, and you thank Him for hearing your prayer and meeting the need. Amen. Then you walk in the peace of God. Are you with me? Amen. And that simply means that when you go to bed that night, you're not worried about what's going to happen. You know you prayed, God heard you, He's answered your prayer, you're thanking Him for the answer. Amen. Are you with me? Every time your mind touches that thing, you just keep thanking Him for the answer. Amen. Just keep thanking Him for the answer. Father, I thank You because I know You got it handled. I know You got it handled. I know everything's going to work out all right because I ask You to help me and I know You are. Amen. Amen? And every time the devil tries to remind you of that thing or get you to worry, say, I'm not worrying about it. I gave it to God. He's handled it. I'm free. Amen. I'm walking in the peace of God. Amen? Amen? Righteousness brings peace. Will enable you to walk in peace. Will enable you to experience peace. Did you know that your body was not designed to handle stress? You were not created to sit there and worry about all this stuff. It'll hurt you physically. You need to give that stuff to God. Amen. Amen? Amen? Pray about it. Roll it over on Him. Thank Him for the answer. And go on and live your life. Amen? Amen? But make sure you're spending time every day sitting at His feet, hearing His Word, letting Him teach you. Make sure that you're following the shepherd, not following what you think. You with me? Not following your emotions. Hey, emotions are great. They're the spice of life, but they'll get you in trouble. They'll get you in trouble. Amen? I think that was a good lesson. I learned something myself. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand together. Thank you, Patrick. Goodness, that's great.